Good morning. We're in Romans chapter 1, if you would like to turn there. I'm just going to say that God has placed us in this family, in this church family, and I am grateful, and it's a wonderful place to be. And I'm very glad that we are a team together. We are actually missing a number of people who either said this morning they were gone or they were sick or they couldn't be here, and so we're missing a lot of our people. But praise God for how he puts together the body of Christ. I'm glad. I'm glad that you're saved and I'm saved, and I'm glad that the Lord is working in us and through us, and he will continue to do that. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. It's beginning with verse 8. Actually, we'll start there and go through verse 12, 13, right about in there. But here's the question. We're talking at this point of this scripture about what I just called body life truths. And then I thought, did I misspell that? Is that supposed to be ES on truths? Okay, so, all right. I just want to be sure. I always hate it when I look at my notes and go, oh, man, what did I do? Body life truths. And then the question under it is, what impact do believers have on one another? I'd like you to think about that. What impact do we have on one another? Do you think we have impact on one another? We do. Huge impact. And God says it's, I think, even more than we understand. So what impact do we have? Let me read the scripture. Let me pray first. Father, we thank you for the privilege to know Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to sing these songs, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that you are the creator. You made all things. You gave us life. And Lord, in this life, by the grace of God, we have found you. And now we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're living for you. And Lord, you have promised us in many places in Scripture that heaven is our home, and we are saved and sealed so that when this earthly flesh dies, our soul will continue to live with you in heaven forever. And Lord, there'll be that connection, that resurrection of the body, and when the body and the soul are reunited, having a glorified body, and we look forward to that. And Lord, in the meantime, we're here, and we're working, part of the body of Christ, and you've placed us in Somerset and River Pines and Sandridge Road and Fairplay and all these different places, Outingdale. And Lord, you have placed us here with purpose. And the Apostle Paul was greatly called, and he's going to teach us today. But Paul knew he wasn't on his own. He knew that the body of Christ was vital, an intricate part of what he was doing. And so, Lord, I just pray that we'll see how much we need each other, and just looking at these scriptures as Paul wrote. Please speak to us. Use me, Lord, however you can, and help this truth be communicated. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this Romans chapter 1, Paul has laid this incredible foundation. We've looked at it a couple of times, and it's an amazing foundation. And you better be glad that we have a solid foundation in Christ. Again, you're glad you have a solid foundation under your house. If your house wasn't on a solid foundation, your house would crumble and crack. We don't want that to happen to our spiritual life. So Paul lays that out. Here's your foundation. Then he says, here's your call. This is what I've called you to. I've called you to be a one who shares the gospel. You've received the good news, the mercy of God. Now it's your job to share the mercy of God, to let the people in your family, your neighbors, your friends, the people you work with, know about the mercy of God. And then this next little section, like verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, Paul, it's like he stops from his major message that he's preaching, and he just says, I need you. I pray for you. I love you. I long to be with you. Support me. Encourage me. I will bring my gifts and I'll present my gifts and you present your gifts, and we will use our gifts for the purpose of Christ. And that's what he's doing here. It's almost like this little family meeting between the people of God. Listen to the personal words that are in this scripture. He says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God. He's calling you the beloved. You are the ones God loves. Beloved, called to be saints, the ones set apart to be holy. That's who he's talking to. That's us who are in Christ. Grace to you and peace from God. Beautiful words from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 8 and 9 is almost like he's now rehearsing his call, and then he's going to go back to encouraging you. In verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, who I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. Can you just see these personal words? How Paul is saying, man, in the midst of going to Rome, in the midst of going to Philippi and Colossae, I remember you. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. He says, the end of verse 9, I remember you. And he says, I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. And there's, well, we'll see it more. He says in verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Paul and God and the book of Romans, Paul is saying, I am going to impart my gift so that you are strong. Your foundation is even stronger. You have solid pillars upon which to build your life so that you understand the wisdom and knowledge of God, he says, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I love these words, may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And I will tell you, as my life has gone on from being a little child all the way through my life, the people in my life who love Jesus and trust him and follow him and use their lives to serve the Lord, they have impacted my soul. I have been encouraged. I've been motivated. I've been challenged by those people all through my life. You know them. You have people in your life who have been solid pillars of the faith, who have prayed for you, who have taught, who have lived consistently, who have been gracious, who've been humble and teachable people. Aren't those people valuable? And that's what God is calling us. So we are mutually encouraged, he says, by each other's faith. He says in verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. And this is just a simple description. He goes, man, I wanted to come to visit you there in Somerset, but, you know, I didn't have enough money for gas, and my car wasn't working, and, you know, and the Lord just had a different timing in my life. I long to be with you. I want you to see the longingness that Paul has to be with these other believers, and that he was prevented. And I'm going to suggest to you that there is a God timing in the things that happened. Paul wanted to be there. He showed his love and compassion, and yet he said, I couldn't quite be there yet. All right? And then he says, I have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. And this whole idea of a harvest is a huge part of our Christian faith. Jesus says the fields are white unto harvest. I just wish there were more what? Workers, more laborers to go out. And Paul is about harvest because we are unique in Christ. Because Our purpose changed when we became a Christian. We now went from being a person who was just pursuing life and career and family and provision. Now we have been transformed. Now we're a person who does all those things, but at the very same time, we are all about the gospel. God gives us a career so we can be there to witness for Christ. God gives us a career so that we can make money to be generous, to be part of the gospel work. God, he gives us a whole new purpose in the who we are as we live life. Okay, so that's this portion of Scripture. I'd like to rehearse a little Paul's salvation. Just say these words and you can read along. But so God, Paul, and believers. I called them the vital threefold cord. You remember last week we talked about how a cord, when it's braided together, is stronger? Well, let me just read. Paul was miraculously converted man. He had been transformed from persecuting Christians to becoming one of the most vital and committed proclaimers of the gospel. Paul was in Rome to preach the gospel. He was there representing Christ and deeply knew the spiritual strength and value of the Christian body who are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. So Paul is the one proclaiming, and yet he knew all the people, both the Christians in Rome and the Christians who had sent him, were all part of this vital team, this threefold cord that God had put together to do his work. God has ordained and called believers in Christ to be a combined witness to all the realms of the universe. And God not only called Paul to preach, and he called us to be part of this body of Christ to be the witness in the world, but look at the verse from Ephesians chapter 3. Our brother Jim read just beyond this passage, but listen to these words. Paul says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So, we as Pioneer Bible Church, we are going to give out Thanksgiving baskets tomorrow. And during that time, we're going to give out some little booklets that share with people how to know Christ. We're going to give out maybe a little flyer that talks about the ministries that are happening at Pioneer Bible Church. We know a lot of those people who are going to come for the Thanksgiving baskets. But our goal is, and I tell them on Fridays regularly, you know, I am really happy that we can give you bread and milk, but more than anything, we want you to know Christ so that you can go to heaven when you die, because we are going to die. And so Paul says, the message, see, this is a supernatural picture that we don't think about a lot. We're going to give a gospel tract to a person who's here tomorrow to pick up their Thanksgiving basket. But Paul says, not only does the physical world watch as we do the ministry of the gospel, but the supernatural world watches as we share the gospel. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, so that through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God, which is so vast, but the gospel of God, might be made known to who? Can you see those words? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That we as Christian people are not only playing a part in sharing the gospel with humanity, but as we do that, it is proof and evidence to the world, to the supernatural world, that God's plan is real, that God is real, that he is supernatural, that he is sovereign. So I just want you to know that God has called us to represent, to reflect, to be the light, to be the salt, and it has eternal purpose. It's very exciting to be on this team, sharing Christ with our world. So we'll jump to the next page. So Romans 1, and I just tried to summarize this a little bit. Romans 1, 7 through 15 teaches us, and these things. I'm just going to turn and look at the list. So once we are saved, we're a vital member of God's family. I know I'm kind of silly sometimes, but you know, you just turn to the next person and say, you're a vital part of God's family. Can you do that? Just tell them. You, a vital part of God's family. That's right. Good. Okay, you don't have to tell them too much more. Just tell them they're a vital part of God's family, okay? Okay, now in that, in fact, would someone turn on this fan just right here? I don't know. Ray, would you? Or, yeah, Sydney, thank you very much. Turn on these fans. So once saved, we are a vital member of God's family. And these are what I kind of gleaned from these first verses. Because of Christ, we are beloved of God and called to holiness. So that's step one. We are the beloved of God, and we are called to holiness, living lives by the power of the Holy Spirit that we might live and please Christ. Two, because of Christ, I have a deeper gratitude for my believing brothers and sisters. God is doing a work in your heart, and you are loving the brothers and sisters in Christ in ways that you couldn't do that beforehand. You're beginning to see and value one another more and more. Number three, because of Christ, our faith in God has a ripple effect of witness. Paul says to the people who are the Christians at Rome, your faith, your trust in Christ, it has a ripple effect of testimony that is going, and Paul said, throughout the whole world. And I'm going to take him at his word. It was a powerful witness. Number four, because of Christ, our call is to share the gospel in our world. And that's just a basic, clear thing we see there, that our call is to share the gospel. What does that mean? It means that you go to somebody. In fact, I had a conversation with a very dear person in my life this week, and I have a burden for some of their family members. And I kind of asked their permission. I just said, you know, I'm really concerned about the people in the family, and I don't want to be offensive, but I really need to talk to them, just share about Christ with them. That's our call. Number five, because of Christ, we take prayer for one another seriously. We see how Paul counted on these people and how he diligently prayed. He said, every day I think of you and I pray for you. And you know what, you guys, I don't pray for you like Paul prayed for those people. I wish I did. And I pray oftentimes as a group, Lord, I pray for individuals as needs come up and so on. But you know what? We need to be prayerful, praying for one another. Paul was modeling for us how we should take prayer, going to God with people's needs and people's concerns and things about their life seriously. The time you spend in prayer has multiplied ripple effect. God is using that. He hears your prayer and he wants you to pray. Paul prayed continually for these people. You know, I believe that there will be a direct correlation to how effective we are as a church by how we pray. Pray for one another, pray for needs, pray for our community. Pray. Because of Christ, we take prayer for one another seriously. Number six, because of Christ, we make an effort to worship and learn together. You come to church. I'm really glad you come to church. It would be really lonely if you didn't come to church. Thank you. But see, that's what God's people do. That's what people with the Spirit of God do. We make an effort, and it is an effort for you to be here. Sometimes there's a few of you that it's very difficult for you to come to church. It's physically difficult to come to church. And I'm really blessed to see you at church. Thank you for making the effort so that we can worship and learn together. Paul highlights that in this passage of Scripture. There's a few more observations. Once we're saved and we are a vital member of his family, because of Christ, our spiritual gifts build one another up. Paul says, I am coming to you to bring a spiritual gift, and I'm going to impart that to you so that you will be firmly established in your faith. And when we come together, we are all so different. Our personalities are different. Our gifts are different. Our interests are different. In fact, it often is shocking to me how well we get along because we're all so different. But that's why God brought us together, and he calls us over and over in Scripture the body of Christ, and he tells us in ways that are so creative. He says, you need me. I need you. You know, in fact, I love the fact that Paul even jokes about it, and he says, what if the body were all an ear? Just picture that. That would be awesome. If it was just an ear, you know, it's like Mike Wazowski, just an ear. But he doesn't. He says, no, you are the arms, and you're the legs, and you're the nose, and you're the eyes, and we've got to come together. You bring a spiritual gift. And Paul says, I have come to impart that because when you come to church, you bring your spiritual gift. When you come to church, you bring your bents and your opinions, and sometimes we have to put those in check according to the Word of God, but we bring our spiritual gift, and that adds to the body, and Paul is valuing that. Because of Christ, as we trust God and believe his promises, this helps others to trust God and believe God even more. That is absolutely true. When we come and we share together, Jay has a Sunday school class, and they have a lot of fun in there. And as they come together and they talk about trusting God, and you hear what he has to say, and you hear what he has to say, and you listen, we learn to trust God more. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Because of Christ, as we trust God and believe his promises, this helps others to trust God and believe God even more. It is so vital that we come together as the body of Christ so that we're people on a journey together. That's who he has called us to be. The next one, because of Christ, we understand that God's ways are not our ways, and timing is up to him. Have you seen that? Of course you have. God's ways are different than our ways, and his timing is his timing. And until we come to the place, in our Sunday school class we were talking about, until you come to the place where you rest in that, that God is sovereign, you'll constantly be striving. Just rest in God's timing. You know, in this book that we're studying in our Sunday school class, it has this little illustration that says, you know, when God wants to grow a squash, he takes 6 months. When God wants to grow an oak tree, he takes 100 years. Don't be in a hurry. God is in the business of building oak trees. Long-standing trust and belief in him. And lastly, because of Christ, we value eternal things more than temporal things for each other. So let each other be in a journey. Value the eternal things and not just the temporal things. So those are kind of some observations. That probably summarizes it, but we're going to keep going till I run out of time, okay? So living as a family, the body of Christ. So God makes us healthy and strong as we love, pray, live by faith, trust, invest, establish one another. Our interdependent body is healthier and more fruitful for Christ. And so all of these things that Paul has just been talking about, making the effort to be in church, praying for one another, all of these investments, bringing your spiritual gift, all of that makes us spiritually healthy and strong as a church to be able to carry out his plan for us. That's what we want to do. I mean, we're here about his plan, not our plan. When we bring all those kids to Awana, and boy, praise God for our Awana staff. I talk about them. I love them. They are exhausted at some times. You got 60 or 70 kids, and they're trying to work the kids and train the kids and listen to their Bible verses, you know. But that's the eternal purpose. That's why we're focused on doing that. So in the idea that we are a team, we're the body of Christ, we're intertwined, we're a threefold cord together, I began to think about Olympic teams and how they practice. And I just wanted to ask you the question, you know, what does an Olympic rowing team have to have to be able to be a winning team? What do they have to do? Just, they got to all work together. They have to be synchronized. There has to be unity. You know, there can be really strong people on the rowing team, but if they're not working together, guess what? They are not going to win. Same boat. That's, you know, there's a lot of deep insight right there. Seriously. You got to be working on the same team. You have to be pulling together. You can't, you know, you can have some really strong guys out there, but man, if they're not in sync, they can ruin your whole journey. Yes, Logan. Yep. Yep. Yeah, it is. So, Logan, what would happen if somebody decided he was going to lean to the right really heavy in the boat like that? Yeah, they'd all be sunk. Okay? Yeah, there's faith and a lot more skill. So, I was just reading a sports article, and it mentioned these things. Olympic rowing, you understand your role and how what you do affects the team. Got that? How what we do affects the team. There's a great correlation between rowing and the church. Number two, have clear direction, but an easy hand on the steering. You know, and you might think, well, how does that direct? I'm not sure exactly how that relates to the church. But you think of the importance of clear direction, going the same direction. If you're too splintered in direction, it's hard to see effective ministry take place. And secondly, an easy hand on the steering. And how I chose to interpret that was the idea that, you know, if you got two people who are so opinionated and one wants to steer this way and one wants to steer this way, it's kind of hard to get to your destination. You know, an easy hand on the steering. Let's stay focused on what God's called us to. And then the last one, it's not how hard you work, it's how hard you work together. Okay? Not how hard you work. Not that we're not to work hard. We are to work hard. But it's not how hard you work, but how you work together. Very good. So can you see, and I'm just trying to build, yeah, so I thought I'd show you a little bit of us. I guess this is hard to see, but this is a huge auditorium filled with people at our Awana banquet. And I just want to say, this is us. This is our team. Can you find yourself in there? Yeah? Yeah? Good job. Okay, let's go to the next one. So we are the team. In Hebrews 10:24, a favorite of mine, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another toward love and good works. And that's part of what we're doing. We are stirring up one another toward love and good works. So here's a hurdle that we have to jump. And we tend to be self-sufficient and isolated. All my Christian life, people have talked about how they don't want to ask anybody for help. Right? We all like to be independent. We all like to carry our own load, and there's nothing wrong with that. So fallen human beings are often independent or self-reliant, and this carries over into our Christian life. And you know what? It weakens us. It weakens us. Can you see why? It's like the rowing team not rowing together. not being in sync. So the words on the left are things that we humanly tend to go to. We're self-reliant, we're independent, we're self-made, we can be a lone ranger, self-sufficient, self-supporting, autonomous, and disconnected. And if we're not careful, we kind of believe the world's thinking and we kind of stay on that side. Can you see where this scripture is showing us that's not the way we're supposed to live? We think independence is a strength. In the body of Christ, not so much. Let me read this to you. We have personal and ministry needs, yet we often feel that asking for help is a weakness or that we will be a bother to our family or friends. Do you ever feel that? I do. I think it even today, this week. We have been working for months to get room 6 finished. Room 6 is at the end of the fellowship hall. You wouldn't know it except that all the stuff from room 6 has been in the fellowship hall, and if you have a class in the fellowship hall or a Bible study in the fellowship hall, you got all this stuff, right? Hey. So Mark did the other side, and me and Dan did this side. But we had to load all the clothes from that room out in the fellowship hall. And then Harvest Fair was coming, so we had to put them all back in the room. And then Ladies Bible Study was coming, so we had, literally like 12 or 15 times we've moved stuff in and out of these rooms. And there were times where I thought, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. I just want to do it myself. Just do it. You know, you kind of get it down to a science, how fast you can do it. But praise God when the team came along. And it just happened, you know, 5 minutes or less, and we had the room cleaned out. Well, God wants us to work together. This next line, God wants us to admit our need. We need to invite each other's requests. You know, Tom and John Owens, who were around for a long time, those guys, whenever we do in ministry, you remember that? They'd just come on and say, how can I help you? What can I do? Every time they'd show up, hey, can I help you? What can I do? You know, that's a great attitude for us as Christian people to say, what can I do to help? How can I pitch in? So we need to invite each other's requests. Now, it's true that we are gifted and capable, and each man should carry his own load, the scripture says. Yet we are instructed to be interdependent, each valuing one another, leaning upon one another, caring for one another, lifting up one another, praying for one another, supporting one another, helping one another, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. This is what Paul is referring to and describing in Romans chapter 1. So, so let's skip that, if you would. So I'm just going to say this. Since we belong to God, and Scripture clearly tells us that, in Him we are uniquely bound together. The Scripture teaches us that. The bond in Christ unifies and strengthens and encourages and emboldens and blesses us and readies us for what? To serve one another, to serve the church and through the church, and to serve the world by bringing the gospel. God wants us bound together. God wants us in a threefold cord. God wants us together working so that His plan and His purpose can be completed. I think we're, I have another picture of some of you coming up. Hope you don't mind. So, yeah, a few people. It's hard to see my pictures here, but it's at our senior luncheon. And I just want to say, you know, one of our greatest strengths that we have is that we are the body of Christ. And this is us. This is our team. This is who we are. And God has called us to work together and to serve together. So on the next slide, just some summary statements again, and then we'll close. Paul shows by example how we are to live depending upon one another. I won't say all these words, but first of all, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Could you just go with me for a minute and just say, Lord, give me this kind of a heart that we have gratitude for each other, valuing one another, including, you know, valuing your person and your giftedness, your personality, your idiosyncrasies, your insights, your perspective, that we value each other. Secondly, that we pray, as we said earlier, that we take the time to listen. You know, it is an incredible gift for someone who will listen to your prayer requests and then pray for you. Now, some of you are very detailed sharers about your requests, and those of us who are not as detailed listeners need to listen carefully and then carefully pray for the people that are asking us for prayer. The fourth one, that I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, that there is an interest in helping, in sharing, in being there for somebody else. That I long to see you, the last one, that I genuinely care, that I have desire and love and compassion for you, that I value you. You know, in Paul's teaching in this passage of Romans chapter 1, he's really saying, love each other, care about each other, pray for each other, lift each other up, come alongside, hear the requests, take time to pray, strengthen the cord, so that we can do the work that God has put here for us. On the next slide, Paul says, I want to implant some spiritual gift. Value the gift that you have and value the spiritual gifts that other people have. You could pick on Melissa for a minute. About 3 months ago, she said, God, just put it on my heart to come down to Fridays and pray for people. She said, I don't know how it's gonna work, but she came. And she prayed and she said, I think people need dog food. So she bought dog food and she bagged it up in little baggies and she put a gospel tract in the baggie with the dog food. And she had a little sign that says, I don't know what your sign says, but prayer table or something. Need prayer. And here's what she did. She just went with the prompting that God put on her heart. She wasn't part of our Friday food giveaway regularly. She just felt that God was telling her to pray for people. And in the very first few weeks when people would come, I think it was like, what's that? You know, prayer table. And people would just, and then people saw the dog food and that kind of drew them in. And now she has this huddle every week around her table, people just coming and asking for prayer. She's using the gifts and the abilities that she has and her love and listening to the Holy Spirit, and she just showed up with baggies of dog food and gospel tracts and a heart and an ear to listen to people. It's one way. That's Melissa's way. God's using that and touching people's lives. We've been praying for the people on Fridays to come to Christ for years now, and now there's this tangible, loving person in the body of Christ who's come along and said, here I am. Praise God. In that part, we bring our spiritual gift, and then he says, I want you to be firmly established, that we bring, that we have a desire to come and bring who we are to help others who are on the journey, to strengthen others who are here. And then lastly, that I may be encouraged together with you. And we talked about mutual faith and so on. So worship team, why don't you come on up? I think you get the gist of the message. Paul says we got this incredible foundation of a faith. We have this great call. And now he says, let me tell you how vital the body is, who is here together as the team. I marvel and am delighted with the team that God has put at Pioneer Bible Church. It's one of the reasons when somebody for whatever reason has to leave our family and go somewhere else and serve that we miss you. You know, like Cindy had to go, and I'm really glad you're here today. And And so God has called us. I just, the thing that's on my heart is to value, to pray for, to invest in, to care about the body of Christ that God has given us, knowing that his greater call is enhanced when we care for in these same kind of ways, the way Paul mentioned. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you that you have allowed us to be part of this supernatural family of God that has, and you've placed us in Somerset and the surrounding areas. And Lord, you have gifted people so that they can be part of a team and be the eyes and ears and hands and feet. And thank you, Lord, that you have shown us by your grace, you've called us your beloved, and you have called us the holy ones because we are holy in Christ. So, Lord, would you make us as effective as we can be? Tomorrow, when we are here at 11 to divide up the food for Thanksgiving baskets, God, I pray for all these families, 47, 48, 49, 50 families who come, that we would love them genuinely and that you would build relationships so that people would find true hope and true bread. God, I thank you for our worship team. Bless them as they lead us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
See if I got it loud enough this time, where I can hear it. Yep. Okay.
You help us see.
Thank you that we are one body, Lord, and that we all have a part, and that that you've given us that opportunity, Lord, that we can serve each other, that we can serve the body, and we can be witnesses to the world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.